Good morning. Why don't you stand up and open this service with us with this song?
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. The sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Again.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand,
just the sheep.
Good morning and welcome to worship at Crossroads this morning. It's good to see all of you here, whether you've been coming your whole life for a while or if you're just visiting today. There's no place God would rather have you be this morning. Our call to worship uses the same words that we just sung from Psalm 95. Come. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. And that God that calls us to worship greets us this morning with these words: grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. And as God has greeted you this morning, let's take a moment and greet and welcome those around you.
We're going to see if you guys all paid attention this morning on your way into work. This next song, we're going to have a little bit of a competition. Well, no, boom. Work. Oh. On the way into church this morning. Okay, so it was a little earlier. We're going to, this next song has a little bit of an echo to it. I'm going to ask this side of the church to lead it with this side of my praise team, and you guys are going to echo with us on this side.
This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
We will rejoice.
We will rejoice
and be glad in it.
And be glad in it.
Everyone sing.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made. We are the sons.
We are the sons
of the living God.
Of the living God.
We will rejoice.
We will rejoice
and be glad in Him.
And be glad in Him.
We are the sons of the living God. We will rejoice and be glad in Him. We are the sons.
We are the sons
of the living God. King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who lives. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Holy Father, we come into your presence this morning, Lord, and we just say thank you. We say thank you for this day. Thank you for this day that we can get together, Lord, and worship you and praise your name and sing and pray and read. Lord, I just pray that this day will bring glory and honor to you, that this service will bring glory to honor to you, Lord, that you will accept the songs that we sing and the words that we pray. Lord, I just pray that you will clear our hearts this morning, that you will clear our minds, that you will open them to what you would have us hear this morning. God, we thank you so much for Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We do have a few announcements this morning. I think Kevin and Tim.
Very briefly, representing the Pastor Search Committee, if you look in your bulletin, there's a nice note about where we are as a committee. We meet every 2-3 weeks. We're making progress on the church profile. And also note that we are in deep prayer as a committee that God will show us the way to a new pastor to our church. And we're going to be intentional about having each person be as a member of the congregation praying about that, because we need God's guidance and the pastor's going to use it. That's the quick note. I think I've used my 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
I got to talk really fast then. It's like, hey.
Well, see, he's my idol, and I walk in his footsteps, and thus, you know,
I do a hair growth as well. But I only started this week, so.
2 months.
I just thought I'd throw that in there. Just a whim. From the Connections team, a couple things here. You see this announcement book about small group sign up. I just want to encourage you, if you're interested in being part of a group or an additional group, whatever the case, we're asking you to sign up by next week. Now, that doesn't mean you can't let us know after that, but just we're trying to get some groups going of people that are interested. And as a team, Carolyn Wilson is kind of our small group coordinator, and we just want to be a resource to you. To lead, to facilitate, to be part of the group, decide what to study on. So we're there to help your research. We just want to emphasize that. And we also encourage you to initiate your own group. You got some people you know that you've gotten to know and want to be part of, try to get them into a group. And otherwise, we'll help you as well. December 7th, as you know in the bulletin, is the All Church Gathering. We're going to do some Christmas caroling and then some food and fun at the church. Just want to emphasize that. You can come to any part of that, you know? You can only come for caroling, or you can only come for the fun and food. That's fine. But please do sign up, because the number of people will determine how many different places we go sing at. So if you're all thinking about it, please do sign up for that. And then after the service, again, particularly for our guests, we have small group time in relation to the message today. The tables are arranged according to alphabet by your first name, but pretty much just find a table that's open. We try to keep them to about 8 people or less around those tables. And then lastly, just a prayer of thanks. Last week we prayed for Alice's father, who was going to have a knee replacement surgery, but ended up with just having a knee repair and is doing great. So we give God thanks for that.
We will dismiss children in worship at this time, so you can follow the flag. Children in worship, here's the flag. All right, I want you to journey back with me about 10 weeks ago. 10 weeks ago when we started this series, Foundation for Life, a series on doctrine, and we've been building our foundation as we go brick by brick, wall by wall. And we started, if you remember, we started way back, and it was a long time ago because I didn't have a beard then, and it does take me about 10 weeks to grow one. We started 10 weeks ago talking about the Trinity, who God is and how He exists as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, yet one God. And that God existed in perfect community, in perfect joy, and in perfect worship. And then we studied that God revealed Himself in His Word, and that the Word is true. And then we talked about creation, about how God created us, and He gave us some of His attributes, but not all of His attributes. And one of those that He gave us is the ability to worship. The ability to worship, and we are created with the ability to worship correctly. But then what happened? We studied the fall. Adam and Eve took a bite of the fruit and sinned. And that relationship between God and man was marred. It was no longer the way it was intended to be. And we studied the incarnation. Jesus Christ comes to this earth as a person. And then He died. But He rose again. And so He through His death and His resurrection, He made us right with God yet again. And so we can worship. And so all of these things that we study build on each other. And today we're going to talk about worship and how it's a culmination of everything else that we've studied. And how we're constantly worshiping. We're always worshiping, but the question is, what are we worshiping? And so we're going to get into that this morning, but I wanted to point out that it all fits together. That this wall up here builds brick by brick, block by block, and forms the foundation of your life and the foundation of your faith. Before we get into worship this morning, I want to tell you a story. There were a couple guys that went up to the Minnesota Gophers Iowa Hawkeye game. They're at the game, and after the game was over, they're walking out, and they're walking through this alley, and one of them gets attacked by a Rottweiler. Okay, he gets attacked, and he's getting mauled, and so his friend grabs a 2x4 and proceeds to beat the dog over the head until he kills it. And the newspaper reporter hears about this, and he thinks it's a great story of heroism, so he puts a headline up there that says, "Vikings fan's bravery saves friend from rabid Rottweiler." I had to practice saying that, believe it or not. Well, the guy saw the headline, calls up the reporter and says, "Hey, you know, I appreciate it, but I'm not a Vikings fan." The reporter says, "You know what? I got it. I'll take care of it." Next day, there's a correction. It says, "Twins fan's bravery saves friend from rabid Rottweiler." Guy goes, calls the reporter again and says, "You know, thanks, appreciate it, but I'm not a Twins fan either." The reporter says, "Well, I assumed you were a sports fan. You were coming from the football game anyway." The guy says, "Well, actually, I am. I'm a huge football fan. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan." Reporter says, "Ah, got it. I'll take care of it." So the next day, he puts a new headline up there: "Redneck hit kills faithful family pet." What's the point? The point is perspective matters. It matters how you look at things, what history you have with things. And talking about worship this morning, I know we have a lot of our own perspectives. We have a lot of our own history with worship, what's important to us, what's not important. And so this morning, I just ask you to set your perspective aside for a little while. Open your mind and your heart to hear what the Bible says about worship and see what God has to say about worship. Because I read a quote from Swindoll as I was preparing for this message. And he said something to the effect that our generation has become one that worships our work, works at our play, and plays at our worship. We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. And we need to get back to worship as God has defined it to be. We need to get back to worship that brings glory to God, that puts Him on the pedestal, not our own wants and desires. We need to have worship that if an unbeliever showed up here would say, surely God was among you. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is talking to the church and he's talking about speaking in tongues or prophesying. And he gets down to, you want to be to the point where if an unbeliever is among you, he leaves saying, surely God is really among you. And so we're going to start today, we're going to start, instead of defining what worship is, we're going to define what it's not. We're going to define what it's not. And as I put this together, and I wrote it a little bit differently, in case you didn't notice, and for those of you who are my age, roughly 40, exactly 40, you probably went through that phase in your life where you put not at the end of things. Like, hey, that was a great catch, not. Or if you're my age, and I see some people smiling, remembering these things. You know, you look back in your life and wish there were a lot of things you hadn't done. French cuffing your pants, for example. But what worship isn't? What worship isn't? It's not an event. It's not just an event. You can't show up to Sunday morning service and say, yep, I worshiped. It's not just an event. It's not just what happens up here. It's not just showing up. We call it a Sunday morning service, but it's not necessarily worship. We call it a worship service. That doesn't make it worship. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 15 when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Just because you sing, just because you listen, just because you write some things down, doesn't mean you're worshiping. Worshiping is so much more than just an event. Now, I'll be honest, what I wanted to do this morning was stand up here and tell you exactly what a worship service should look like, how many songs we should sing, how many of them should be hymns, how many of them should be praise songs. But even I'm not that foolish. But I do want to say that worship is not music, nor is it the type of music. Now, I'm not saying that you can't use music as a vehicle to worship God, because certainly you can. But just because you sing a song doesn't mean you worship. And as for the type of music, this is one that just pains me. It just pains me when people complain about the type of worship. We don't sing enough hymns, or we sing too many hymns. We don't sing enough praise songs, or we sing too many verses of the hymn. Whatever it is, it just pains me, especially in today's world. In today's world, because if we're at church and we sing songs that maybe I would characterize as not being my favorite, I can still use those to worship God. But I have a phone that has every song I like on it. I can go out in my car, play it as loud as I want, sing as loud and as off-key as I want, and still worship God. I went back and I just found a few passages about music. Psalm 40, verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth. 69, verse 30, I will praise God's name in song. 96, verse 1 and 149, verse 1 say the same thing. Sing to the Lord a new song. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, it says we're talking to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They're all acceptable. Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song. We can't get hung up on the songs that we like, the songs that I like, because as soon as we start to do that, the focus moves from where it should be to me. So worship is not an event. It's not music, nor the type of music. It's not a performance. It's not a performance. It's not about the praise team. It's not about me. You guys aren't just spectators sitting back enjoying your cup of coffee. Now, believe me, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a cup of coffee during church, because I'll be one of the first ones to grab my cup of coffee. But you still have to be engaged. You can't just sit back and say, you know what? Nate's up there just for me. So he's got to do all the work. I just got to sit back and soak it in. No. You can't show up to a concert and say, you know what? Because I went to a concert, there's this great performance. I'm going to worship. Can you worship at a concert? Absolutely. But the performance is not worship. As I was putting this together, I thought about very strongly the Pharisee, the rebuking of the Pharisee who was praying, Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I'm not up here because it makes me feel good. The praise team doesn't come up here because they want you to pat them on the back. We're up here to worship God, to glorify God. And if we're ever up here for any reason other than that, shame on us. Worship is not a feeling. I don't know about you guys, but when I hear that, I think of Chris Matthews and the shiver running up his leg. We sometimes want to make worship this experience, this thing where you get chills down your spine. But worship is more than just a feeling. You can manipulate people into feeling a certain way. You don't have to have a Christian message or a message about God to give people a feeling. Worship is more than just a feeling. It's also more than just a mental exercise. I think we err on both sides of those spectrum where we want it to be a feeling or we want it just to be a theological lecture. And it's more than just a mental exercise. I've said it, I've heard other people say it, that the longest distance in the world is from your head to your heart. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just our mind, not just our soul, but our entire being. And so worship is not just a feeling, but it's not just a mental exercise either. Psalm 95 verse 6, our call to worship said, come let us bow down in worship. It implies more. It implies more than just a mental exercise. Worship does not happen at a specific time or a specific place. You don't have to show up here on a Sunday morning at 9:30 to worship. Believe it or not, worship goes on other times, other places. As a matter of fact, I would say it should go on every time in every place. You should worship God wherever you are, whenever you are breathing. In John 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman. And he confronts her a little bit about her past and how she was a prostitute. And the lady looks at Jesus and says, sir, I understand you're a great prophet. Where should we worship? Should we worship on this mountain, which was important to the Samaritans? Or should we worship in Jerusalem, which is important to the Jews? And Jesus answers her in 21 verse through 24 of John 4, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. That was a big statement for a Jew to make, because Jerusalem was the center of the Jews' worship. It's where the temple was. And so for Jesus to say, you know what, you don't need to worship the Father in the temple, was a big statement. And that statement holds true for us today, that we don't need to worship Jesus just in church. That you don't have to be here to worship Jesus. So that's what worship is not. To get into what is worship, we're going to use Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, you'll notice up there I changed it to mercies, not just mercy, which I think is a better translation, especially if you read it in light of the first 11 chapters of Romans, where Paul is laying forth all that God has done for us. And so the first thing I want to point out is that worship is a response to God. It's a response to God and what He has done for you. Now, to be sure, God does have mercy on us, right? When we studied the fall, what did we say? The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We deserve to die for our sin, but God, in His great mercy, says, no, no, I'm not going to send you to hell. But He goes a step further and says, not only am I not going to send you to hell, I'm going to offer my Son as a sacrifice for you. And so Jesus came down to this earth. And if that wasn't humiliation enough for a God to become man, He had to walk the same walk that we do. He had to live the same life that we do. He was tempted by the greatest tempter ever, ever. Satan put a full court press on Jesus, way more than He ever gives us. But Jesus came to this earth. He walked the road we needed to walk. He satisfied God's wrath. He died for us. He was tried in a kangaroo court and found guilty. And he died. But he didn't just die, he was sacrificed for our sins. The punishment of our sin was placed upon Jesus' shoulders. This is what God has done for us. This is what Jesus has done for us. But it didn't end there, because 3 days later he rose again from the dead and he restores our relationship with God. And that is just a phenomenal thing if you can grasp that. I remember when the day this hit home for me. Now, I couldn't tell you the date. I couldn't even tell you what I was reading. But it was in our first apartment when we moved to Des Moines. And I just remember realizing then how great of a sinner I was and how great of a sacrifice God made, and it brought me to tears. Because I realized right then what I deserved, but what instead God had promised to me: eternal life, which I had no business expecting or even hoping for. So the first thing worship is a response to God's mercies. And until you understand what God has done for you, you can't respond to it. Second, worship is a choice. Offer your bodies. Give them up to God. We'll look at that with worship is giving as well, because also a sacrifice. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It's a choice that you have to give. You could sit back and say, God, I know what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do it. You could be stubborn and say, God, I feel like you're leading me this way and my whole life is funneling me this way, but I'm going to go this way instead. You have to offer your body as a living sacrifice. It's interesting, if you look later on in chapter 12, it talks about different roles of church members. It says, if man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. It doesn't say if a man likes to encourage, let him encourage. It doesn't say do whatever you want. It says God has given us gifts, and we are to give those gifts and use those gifts for God's glory. Sometimes it's sacrificing what we want for what God wants. It's setting aside my will for God's will. I mean, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus before he was going to go to the cross. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. You think he wants to go get lashed and beat, scorned, hung on a cross? He doesn't want to. But he says, God, take this cup from me. But your will be done, not mine. Jesus is saying, I offer my body as a sacrifice. I offer myself as a sacrifice because that's what God wants from me. And he wants the same thing from us. He wants us to do what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. And that's not always easy for us. It's not always easy for me. I have things I like to do, I want to do. But I've got to look at what God wants me to do. So worship is a response to God. It's a choice. It's giving. Worship, I just stole my own thunder. Worship values God above everyone and everything. Mark 12, verse 30, I mentioned this earlier. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, I love my family. Love my family deeply, but I don't worship my family. I have a lot of hobbies. A lot of hobbies. I like to fish. I like to hunt. I really enjoy golfing. Those of you that know me may think, well, maybe he does love golfing. But worship requires us putting God above everything and everyone else. That includes our kids. That includes our kids, and that can be hard to do because those little buggers suck up a lot of time. They take up a lot of time, energy, effort, focus, and for sure it's our responsibility. But we can get distorted and value our kids more than we value God. Worship values God above everything and everyone else. Now the opposite, I was going to ask you what the opposite of worship is, but those of you that are really fast readers saw the next slide. The opposite of of Christianity, or the opposite of worshiping God, is not atheism. I think it's idolatry. The opposite of worshiping God is idolatry. Gary, can you give me an assist? There are a lot of things that we can worship in our life. I put a list up here. And these aren't exhaustive, and these may not ring true with you at all. You may look at that list and go, yep, not me. But I ask you to look in your heart. See, are there things that you value above God? I put up your creation because we can look at the world and we can worship creation instead of worshiping the Creator. Now, you can look at the beauty of creation and worship God through that, to be sure. But you can't get distracted by the creation, say, you know what? I worship the sun or the moon or the stars or being outside. This reminds me of one of my dad's sayings. I shared this when I was being examined to be able to be up here about 6 years ago. They asked me, what do you say about people that say that they can just sit alone in nature and worship? Well, my dad always told me growing up, he said, it's better to be sitting in a boat thinking about God than sitting in church thinking about fishing. You can't make creation an idol. You can't make your family an idol. It's so easy to do that. I mentioned kids, they get involved in sports and they've got to be here and they've got to be there. And pretty soon the sole focus of your life is making sure your schedule is set right and your kids are here and there and everywhere. You can make your work your worship. I've got to provide a better life for my family. I've got to spend more time at work. I've got to get ahead. I've got to do more. And pretty soon the only thing you focus on is your work. You may show up to church on Sunday morning, but sitting here doesn't mean you're worshiping. We can make our pets an idol. Now maybe you say, Nate, don't you like dogs and cats? I love dogs. I love dogs. But you can make your pets your idols. It's not hard. And you know what? Society makes it real easy for us. They make it real easy for us to put things in front of God. You make your yard, your food, alcohol, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, sports, hobbies, pornography, the list goes on and on and on. Find the thing that you put before God. Sports. You know, I'm a Vikings fan. It's hard to put the Vikings before God this year. Maybe if I was a Packers fan or a Cowboys fan or a Broncos fan, but sports are easy to put before God. But the more I read, the more I study, the more I think about it, I don't think we have an addiction problem. I think we have a worship problem. I think we have a worship problem. Because God created us to be people who worship. And we worship all the time. The question is, what is the focus of your worship? Is your focus on God? Or is your focus on these other things? Because I don't think they can be in both places. As a matter of fact, I'm sure they can't. And so I wonder, do we really have an alcohol problem? Or do we have a worship problem? Do we have people that are addicted to pornography? Or do we have people that worship pornography and it's a worship problem, not an addiction problem? I think you can go through that whole list and say, you know what, I don't have a work problem, I have a worship problem. It's where is the focus of your worship? It needs to be centered on God and value Him above everything and everyone. And if you do that, I don't believe you'll have an addiction to pornography problem or alcohol or work or any other thing on that list or your list. Worship requires new birth. John 4, verse 24 says, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we read in our passage that spiritual form of worship. I believe we must be born of the Spirit to worship God. And that we come to God through the truth. Through the truth. And who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, we're born of the flesh. We're born into flesh. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John, he said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And so we're born in flesh until the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and we become born again through the blood of Jesus. Born in the Spirit, we can't worship God. It's kind of like doing a truly good deed. You can't do something that God deems as good unless it arises out of true faith. You can't worship God unless your worship arises out of true faith and being born in the Spirit. So that's what worship is. Why do we worship? We worship because of who God is. In our call to worship this morning, Psalm 95, we read that God is the Lord. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the great God, the great King above all gods. He's my Maker. And then we move into the New Testament. And Jesus Himself says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. There's a whole lot more about who God is. About who God is and who Jesus is. But that's why we worship God, simply because of who He is. He is God. We are not. As a matter of fact, when God was given Moses the Ten Commandments, what did He start with? I am the Lord your God. We worship God because of who He is. And we worship God because of who we are in relationship to Him. We are so far below Him, we can't even understand Him. But because of who God is and what He's done for us, we are able to worship Him. Psalm 95, verse 7, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. When Jesus says, I am the bread, He says, you will never be hungry. When He says, I am the light, He says, you will never be in darkness. He says, I am the gate, you are the sheep. I am the good shepherd, you are my sheep. I am the resurrection and the life, and He says, you are alive. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. We worship God because of who He is and who we are. How do we worship? We worship alone and together. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. This isn't geared directly towards worship, but one of the things that happens when we show up and we worship God the way we're supposed to is we encourage those around us. We encourage those around us, and that encouragement is important. But you don't have to be here surrounded by people to worship God. You can worship God in the morning on your couch with your Bible. You can worship God on your way to work in the morning. You can worship God at work in the morning or in the afternoon. We're to worship God. We're to worship God both verbally and physically. Okay, we got these out of order. We'll do it your way. We're supposed to worship God here, there, and everywhere. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You can worship God, as I said, anywhere and everywhere. Because your worship should value God above anyone and everyone. And so God can be worshipped anywhere and everywhere. We're to worship God verbally and physically. Verbally and physically. In our reading, in our prayers, in our singing. But I'm convinced that there's also supposed to be a physical aspect of worship. And that doesn't mean that you need to sit here and raise your hands, clap. I'm not saying that at all. But I do believe that the Lord is leading you down those paths to stifle it, interrupt your worship. And I believe that your worship does need to involve a physical aspect to it, whether that be service or just working, doing your job, and worshiping God as you do it. I thought one of the best quotes I read as I was getting ready for this is the best public worship is that which produces the best private Christianity. And that's where our worship should be focused. And so for you this morning, four challenges. Personal renewal. Personal renewal. Look at your life. Look at your life. See if there is an idol that you're placing above God. Something that you are valuing more than God. And ask God to take that from you. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Personal renewal, because if you get your relationship right with God, then you can turn and love people. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you get your relationship right with God, then you can love people. Then you can love people. And if you love people, there will be a mission renewal. This is going to make you uncomfortable. I know it is. And I'm not asking you to go out and tell everybody you know about Jesus. I think it'd be great if we all did that. But I'm not asking you to do that. What I am asking you to be ready for is if somebody asks you about Jesus, If somebody asks you about Jesus, you don't flake out and say nothing, but that you know what you're going to say. Because somebody someday is going to ask you about Jesus. They're going to open the door. You're going to see it opened, and you're going to get an opportunity to step through it or not. And I had this in my life, and I didn't, and I regret it to this day. Had a friend of ours ask about the book of Revelations. He was really interested in what it was saying. And instead of stepping through that door and using that to talk to him, I stepped backwards and didn't. And so if you love God, if you love people, you'll be ready for that. And then there'll be a church renewal. Is that you'll show up, you'll love the church, you'll love God's people. You'll love coming to this church because you get to see your brothers and sisters. That's what I want from you this morning. But not for you, not for me, but for God. So that when people come and visit our church, when somebody shows up, an unbeliever shows up, that they would leave saying, God is really among you. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, I thank you for this day, Lord. I just pray that the words that you've laid in my heart I was able to articulate, Lord, that the thoughts that you placed before me I was able to share. Lord, I just ask you, work it into our hearts and lives, this idea of worship and what it means in our life. Lord, as I look at our church, I just pray for the church and pray for the people in it, Lord, for the people struggling with and working through their cancer, Lord. I think of Carrie Vintal, sister to one of the members here, God, and I just pray for her that you will give her comfort, that you will give her strength, that you will help the treatment work, and you will heal her, Lord, and return her to full health. Pray the same thing, Lord, for Justin Vanderkirk. God, we can't understand what they're going through. And so often we offer just a passing prayer, Lord, but we put our hearts together this morning. And we pray with the Spirit that you will give him what he needs, whatever that is. That he will feel your comfort, that he will sense your presence, that he too will be fully healed, Lord. Lord, we thank you for LaVon Hammond's taking a step forward and getting out of the hospital. We thank you for that answers to prayer, Lord. And we just thank you for her and the encouragement she's been to us. Lord, we thank you for Drew, that his therapy continues to go well, Lord. And I just pray for courage and strength for that little guy, for a spirit of determination. I pray for his mom and dad too, Lord, that you will give them strength and courage to walk alongside him. And God, I can't even comprehend what that's like to see one of your kids going through something like that, and then to think that you offered up your son to die for us just humbles me tremendously. Lord, please be with those who can't be here this morning, those who are homebound, for Sonia Zambrano, for Jacob Jorg and Catherine Calamine, Lord. We just pray for them that they'll be able to worship you where they are. Lord, I pray for this church, for the committees, the search team. Lord, we trust you. We know we can't understand your ways, but we trust you, Lord, and know that you are sovereign and that you hold us in your hand. And so we trust you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we have an opportunity to continue our worship in our giving of our gifts and our offerings. And while we do that, we're going to watch a few short videos.
LaVon Hammond's. A lot of folks were praying for some folks that many of you don't know, and so we're just giving you a view of that. You're going to see a little part. She's speaking to you. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear it very well, and I'm going to follow that with her written message to you.
Stop. Hi, my name is Sonia Sobrano. My family and friends call me Sunny. A year ago on November 4, 2013, I had an episode of diabetic ketoacidosis leading to a coma for a week. All my body systems started to shut down. Doctors were thinking I was not going to live, but God had other plans. My family was advised to make funeral arrangements. For God's mercy and your prayers, I am alive. I needed to learn to eat, walk, and talk one more time. I need assisting devices, but as you can see, I am walking. I have no words to express my appreciation for your concern, prayers, and thoughts. I also want to thank Brad and Kevin for their visits and communications through email messages. Once again, thank you very much for your prayers and concerns. If you want to know more about my experience, if you want to write me a line, you can contact me. And she gives her email address. We'll put that in the bulletin next week.
God Ministry started 75 years ago. Our mission has been to proclaim the good news that Jesus is Lord, to help those who want to follow Jesus know him better, and to strengthen the church.
Back to God Ministries International really began as a single broadcast in 1939 called the Back to God Hour. And the Back to God Hour was on the air for 70 years, and along the way, it really branched into other things.
Our English ministry has developed from one or two programs to age-diverse programs. Doesn't matter about the age, doesn't matter about spiritual formation, they are calls to following Jesus Christ, to seeing him as Lord and Savior.
So the shoot that began as a small tree has really grown into a full, fruit-filled tree. We do programming in Arabic, we do programming in Chinese, we do programming in Spanish, we do programming in 10 different languages around the world. Back to God Ministries International is really an orchard of ministries that has grown from that single program starting in 1939.
Over the past 75 years, Back to God Ministries has seen changes in how the Word of God is proclaimed around the world.
I would say it is from a radio, to a book, to a computer, to a tablet, and to a smartphone. We use the radio to broadcast our ministry to the channel, and it proved to be effective. And we receive average 500 emails or letters from the listeners monthly. But now with internet and social media, we are reaching a much larger audience, millions of people.
The daily average hour is spent on smartphone to read is more than 2.5 hours. Do they have enough preaching good content? Can we share good news on smartphones? That's the biggest chance and opportunity for us.
So we really want to be there for people wherever they might be, whether they are old or young, whether they're close to God or not close to God. We want to be there through all kinds of different efforts and channels. We can reach so many more people worldwide through the internet than we could with a local radio broadcast or with paper.
The social media is changing very fast in China. And in China, you may not be able to establish a TV radio station, but you can do it on smartphone or new media. There's plenty of space for us to use new media. As to me, it's wonderful opportunities we can embrace.
As we look back over the past 75 years, we are so grateful for God's faithfulness. We're grateful for the countless opportunities we've had to share God's love and to see Jesus.
Will you rise for our blessing? It comes from Numbers chapter 6, where the Lord tells Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen."
Our closing song this morning may be a little new. I don't know that we've ever sung it in this church before. And as I'm talking about this, there are some elementary students here that I know this song. One of the things that Nate said, that we can worship God physically, this is one of these songs that actually has some motions to it. I don't know them all that well, but I know there are some kids that do. So would you please come up here right now? You know who you are. Come on up, elementary students. If you've heard this song on the radio, you've probably sung it on, heard it different times. If you know it really well, please sing it really loud. Like I said, we're working through it this morning too. So, yep, come on up. And we're not, just come on up. They're going to do it with us. So sing this song with us. If you want to join, I should mention, if you're young at heart too, if you're one of the kids at heart and you want to come up here too, because I'll probably be doing them too, but that's okay. So sing with us and let's worship the Lord with a message for what we need to do in our lives.
This morning weary land, where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high, shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Into your word we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Just to know you and to make you know me, lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
To thrive.